And hello, this is Margaret Gray, and I guess,
Yes, Margaret, you're a voice.
All right, I'm a voice. Anyway, welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Today we'll have Ted Bell, Jay Santos, and I believe Dr. Jim Sadler.
No, we'll have Emery Clayton.
Well, then they changed it.
Yeah, Emery Clayton coming up.
Anyway, this is General Galen Sharp.
Excuse me. Anyway, I'm Margaret Gray. Go.
And this is General Galen Sharp.
Robert Leonard here. And I'm Bud Dickman on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome, folks. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Phil Hendry. By the way, Robert, a lot of feedback on your commentary concerning Farmers Only. They give them a hard time?
What did they say?
There was a lot of positive feedback. People liked hearing your opinions.
Well, I've told Robert you should be more forceful, I think, Robert, in a lot of what you say on the program.
No, you haven't. You told him he should not say anything on account of he's black.
You're a lying little piece of...
Come on, wait a minute.
Oh, you pull a knife on me, huh?
The butter knife!
Pull the butter knife, Margaret.
Jesus H, Margaret, what the hell's with you?
I don't like it when people try to paint me as some kind of a redneck mother.
I don't think you're a redneck.
Well, then what did you mean by that?
I just thought you didn't want him to say anything, he'd get in trouble.
Yeah, you said one time, probably better that I not say too much on account of I'm black.
I didn't say anything. You have him apologize for that.
No, I'm not going to have anybody apologize for anything. And you're not getting up and walking out. And everybody just cool out.
Everyone out there listening now will think I'm some redneck chump mother.
Margaret, you know, everyone out there listening doesn't know the backstory and the history.
That's what I thought you said, Ms. Gray. I'm not saying it makes you racist or anything. I think you were trying to protect me.
Protect you from what?
Protect him from what?
You know, on a kind of a... What do you mean him? You'd be talking to Margaret if you said him.
All right, Margaret, protect him from what?
I don't know what he's talking about.
You said that there are a lot of redneck mothers, and I might get in trouble if I had opinion.
I believe it was... You know something, I don't know what you're talking about, but it couldn't have been me. Although you saying that makes me look like the chump redneck mother of a lifetime.
Look, both of you people, you, Robert, as in you people not being racist, Margaret, you people, as in you people, I don't care what race you are, shut up! I said to shut it.
Now you can't.
All right, you the same thing.
You just hit yourself in the face, General.
Which means you hit yourself in the face.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. You know, Mr. Henry, you know, I was about to say if he hit him.
Yeah, I got it. Never mind, okay? It's too bloody early in the week to be arguing what someone said or who. Anyway, Robert, let me get back to what I was saying before I got rudely interrupted by all these people.
Phil, people are worried about you. You know?
What do you mean people are worried about me?
When you go before I...
That's right, I didn't want to say anything, Phil, but it sounded like you were stroking out.
Well, I'm not, all right?
Yes, fine.
People were saying about you, Robert. Hey, it was good to hear your point of view.
All right, then I can give a little more of my opinion.
I've never stopped you from giving your opinion.
Well, that's not the way I perceived it.
I've never stopped him from giving his opinion. You have with your, hey, you're black, so you might get in trouble stuff.
I never said that, Phil, and I want you to take that back right now.
No, I won't.
Next week?
I'll think about it.
Good enough.
Anyway, that's what they said, and I think it's probably a very good indication of wanting to hear more from you.
Yeah, I'm just going to get you more pissed off.
Look, I don't care who talks about what. It just makes me, you know, I get to, you know what I mean? Me.
What's wrong with you, man?
I don't know. I can't. Me. It makes me say less. That's it. That's what I wanted to say.
Talk about stroking out.
You just hit the microphone.
Margaret, you hit the mic with your hand.
I hit the mic with my hand. Well, better I hit it with my hand than what you hit it with half the time.
You probably talk about a penis. You know what I
mean? Hey, come on, wait.
Say that.
Hey. Jesus, man. You guys are working me out this early?
Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 855-500-7445, if you want to check in with us. What do you guys think about us having a live streaming radio station, a Phil Hendry live streaming internet radio station? Got any ideas on that? You can certainly check in with us on that at, what, Margaret?
Well, they can do it at Facebook. They could do it on the Facebook fan page. They could do it at Twitter. They could, I guess, a number of ways.
You could email us at service at philhendryshow.com, because we're thinking about that. I'm thinking about a 24-hour internet radio station featuring, you know, General Shaw. You'd have your own show.
You know, and what about me?
Yeah, of course, Margaret, you would.
Thank you, because I think there's an awful lot we can talk about in terms of women's issues and the issues of the day.
Well, you know...
What, you almost were Robert and General Shaw. Which is it going to be?
I think I'll be General Shaw.
Go.
You don't want to be limited to women's issues. I mean, this is a, you know...
Yeah, it's a very enlightened time, Ms. Gray.
I know it's an enlightened time, but I still want to be the individual who does articulate the women's issues and so on and so forth.
Yeah, yeah, probably ought to articulate it. That'd be good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
What's so funny?
Not much. There's a little bit funny, but not much. So, yeah, that's what we're thinking of. So give us an idea as to whether or not you want to hear something like that. I don't know. I don't know what it would be. I don't know what it would entail. I don't know how much time, how much money, how much support it would need. Because, you know, in this digital age, even in the days of radio, I mean, everybody that does anything technologic, you got to have that old support system. And, of course, we have one now with the guys that do the website.
Well, I was going to say, you could just use those guys. Maybe cut a deal with them, have them work twice as hard for less the money.
Yeah, there you go. That'll work out real good.
Yay.
Good idea. Thank you. All right, so twice as hard for less is the money? Is that what you said?
Who?
Not who.
Well, that's what it sounds like. You're talking about a guy named Les.
General, take a breath. Sounds like...
It sounded like he was talking about some guy named Les.
No, you said... Fuck it.
I didn't say that.
I did. Welcome to our show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, today, we got a return visit from Professor Emery Clayton. He has written a paper that he delivered to the Urban Studies Symposium that he chairs on the weekends, and he actually delivered this paper called Robot Terror, and what it is going to be like living in an increasingly increasingly computer-controlled what, bud?
You went increasingly...
I know, man. If I hear you guys point this stuff out one more time...
I've been telling them, Phil.
Well, Phil...
No, I don't want to hear it anymore. If I said increasingly, if I fuck something up, just let it stay fucked up.
No, Mr. Henry just said F.
Did I? Jeez, thanks. I didn't know that I... So he is...
Who's he?
Emery Clayton.
You just did it again. You went... I'm sorry.
So he, Professor Emery... Oh, man.
You just said that you were going to come unglued if someone corrected your speech... And he did, and you...
Right, and I didn't do anything.
That's why it's confusing, Phil. That's why I want to stick with women's issues and the women's issues of the day. Those two things.
What does that mean?
It means the issue that the women... How can I explain it? You know something? You're saying that on purpose, so I'll explain it, and you'll find out that I...
You don't know your ass from a hole in the ground.
Get a load of you.
You don't know your ass from a hole...
The,
You remember what you were talking about?
No, I don't. The, what I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted,
You're talking about something having to do with,
I know, Professor Emery Clayton.
That's it, yes. Now let's get to it, for God's sake.
Professor Emery Clayton is delivering this paper called Robot Terror. We'll find out. But he says it has something to do with baseball and how, computers are ruining baseball. Dig that. Also, we have Ted Bell on. Ted has settled on a new slogan... this is him. It ain't me, Margaret, so don't get on my case about this.
Well, I heard about this, and it really is disgusting.
Well, wait a minute, man. You know what he said. He said it's got nothing to do with sex.
He may say that, and he may mean that. What is the slogan? And we'll go ahead and tell you what we mean.
Now, I know what you guys mean. I know where you're coming from. The new slogan is, if you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death.
You see what you just did? You just... So you laugh, you giggle, and guffaw. You're not a man. You're a boy. You're five. You're playing with your tinky.
Yeah, Mr. Henry Off. Ooh, my tinkleberry.
That's it, right there, what he said. You're playing with your tinkleberry. Are you crying?
No, I'm not. I'm not crying at all. I'm not.
Well, what is so funny?
Margaret, I don't think it's that juvenile.
I think it is very juvenile. The fact that you laugh at something like that.
Look, it's Mr. Bell. It's his prerogative to say what he wants to say. That's the slogan of his restaurant.
Well, you know, I can't disagree with that, but he's going to get himself in deeper and deeper doo-doo.
That's the slogan. So they're going to get rid of, we want to put our meat in your mouth and do that?
That's my understanding, yeah.
What a jackball. We just got the we want to put our meat in your mouth normalized. He just made it the new normal, you know? You know, Phil, the new normal?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
What about it?
What about it? What about it is this, that it's the new normal and everyone's...
No one's talking about their meat in your mouth.
Everyone's talking about their meat in your mouth, not yours, but...
Everyone's talking about Ted's slogan.
Yes, that's the point.
All right, well, we'll find out from Ted. I think it's a stupid slogan. He likes it. He's going to put it up on that billboard, you know. That's up on 405. If you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death. The big picture of Ted with a platter Oh, man.
I'm telling you, Phil, he is, he's looking to get sued. He's looking to get, I hate to say it, he's looking to get lynched.
Now, don't say that stuff.
Well, that's pretty explosive.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
All right, and then Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will join us. And Operation Eyeball to Eyeball. This is another, you know, program that they had named Operation Good Morning. It was originally Operation Peep Tom. Is that it, Bud?
Yeah, originally Operation Peep Tom that they said... I'm sorry, hold on.
Get some water, son.
Yes, sir. That they said that they would... Excuse me. That was Operation Peep Tom a couple summers ago that they rolled out and debuted for us.
What do you mean debuted? You mean debuted?
Yeah, I'm sorry, debuted. And then they decided they'd change it because they got negative publicity. They changed it to Operation Good Morning Little Schoolgirl. Then they thought that was bad on account of the whole schoolgirl. It just kind of sat wrecked. So then they changed it to Operation Eyeball, and then they changed Operation Eyeball to Eyeball.
What the hell, man? Why'd you do that?
Because it's more descriptive and everything.
More descriptive? Well, we'll find out. Something tells me ain't descriptive at all. All right, so let's go over to the traffic guys right now. We got Bob Bacon out there with the guys here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bob, how's it looking out there?
Well, right now, the Brooklyn Freeway is going to be probably until 5 o'clock this morning. And the VIP is up there and the VIP in front. And they're trying to get the traffic done, tangled out there downtown. And the downtown area is going to be still going there off the road tonight. And the roller derby is up there, as a matter of fact, on the roller skates going downtown. And down to the Pedro area, it's going down to 405 and 710 and 16. It looks like there's going to be a little back up down there around Pedro, downtown until 10 o'clock this morning. So, Pedro, and a guy named Pedro is out there pushing his car around. He's pushing people around down there, too. He's going to get out and kick his ass. What's going down to Skyboy?
Hey, Bob, what's going on down in San Diego, Orange County area? What kind of got a heavy one on that Huntington Beach and Wamwa and Warm Palm Beach down there? Let's go to the boys' guy named Clinton. Well, I'm not going to work. I'm going to go to the world. 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 I'm going to go to the world.
Sammy Brown's Gardening Supplies at 6141 Efferby in the city of Peninsula. Sammy Brown's Gardening Supplies has all of the fertilizer and the fertilizer stakes. We just got the new Browinster fertilizer stakes to make your plants grow to sizes you can't even imagine. You've seen a giant building. You've seen a giant monster. You've seen a giant guy. Have you seen a giant palm tree? Have you seen a giant petunia? You'll be growing that in your yard soon with Sammy Brown's Gardening Supplies. Visit Sammy Brown and tell him me, Gladhola Billen, said hello. I used to be a flower, and he evolved me into a man. Now I'm talking, and I have leaves, but it's no problem, really.
You're scaring people.
Of course. Sammy Brown's Gardening Supplies. Visit now, and be sure to bring your Sammy Brown certificates and all of the coupons, and bring in your Sammy Brown ID badge. Also, make sure that you have DNA, and make sure you can prove you're a human and not a reconstituted plant. Sammy Brown's Gardening Supplies.
Yes, it's Sweet Farm. We bring together families from all walks of life. We bring together you, 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 and you. And all of you together are constituting the great Sweet Farm family of mental deficients and wealthy people. When you put great wealth together with mental incompetence, you've got Sweet Farm. Sweet Farm, located near you at the Braunschweiger Impasse. Just take a right and go over to Overly Hill. You'll see a large standing statue of our founder, William Boone. Then drive up the long circular driveway, wait for Igor, that's his name, but don't be afraid of him. He'll let your loved one out of the car, package him on a gurney, and take him inside. There, he'll meet our medical staff, scare them most likely, and we'll usher him to a bed. It's just that simple. And that wasn't simple.
Sweet Farm. Bring your loved one to Sweet Farm, where they can be taken care of like any other vegetable.
Sweet Farm.
The world famous Phil Henry Show here on the here in the El Pacifico, I want to say, and we are very happy to have with us Professor Emery Clayton joining us en route, I believe, from the symposium that you had been chairing, Professor Clayton, on the Robot Terror, I think is the name of your book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Now, Margaret, the Robot Terror, and by the way, hello to everyone there.
Professor Clayton, how are you doing?
Hello, Professor, how are you?
Yeah, Professor Clayton.
Professor Clayton, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm glad to see that everyone is assembled, because I know that I took up some time on your program the other day.
No, that's perfectly fine. We're happy to hear from you.
But I had, as I mentioned, I had just gotten the invitation to chair the symposium on the control, the technological control of the human race by the ever-encroaching and ever-increasing technologies, computer technology, so forth. So as I gave this address to the symposium, I thought, well, coming back, I think I'll probably want to talk to some of you and lay it on the line and give you the outline of what we're talking about.
Well, the name of your paper, the presentation, I thought it was a book. Is it a book?
It is the beginning of a book, yes.
Well, it's called Robot Terror. So tell us how this began.
It began quite easily and quite simply about a week ago. That's when I started. It's that recent.
So this is really new, isn't it?
It's very recent, General. What happened was I'm watching television, and I'm watching Major League Baseball, and they have on the screen superimposed a strike zone. Now, this is a box that they superimpose on a screen so that the viewer can see whether or not the pitch that is being thrown by the pitcher is in the strike zone or not. Now, that may be very helpful for the viewer, and that may be all well and good for Mr. and Mrs. excuse me, sports fan sitting out there and popping another Cracker Jack right into their face and just going, you know, I'm sorry, Phil. I take a lot of this very personally. I used to play semi-pro ball when I was going through school, so I know what this is like, you know.
Semi-professional baseball.
Yes, sir. And during that time, I was putting myself through school.
Were you? So this is you were getting paid.
Very, very little. But I saw what players and what umpires went through. So now I'm watching on TV. Now, there's an umpire there who's calling balls and strikes as well. If he calls a pitch a ball or a strike, and the opposite is indicated by that little box, everybody at home, all of Mr. and Mrs., what I call Mr. and Mrs. Popcorn Sucking Cracker Jack. let me just calm down a little bit.
Well, man, you're just taking this kind of personally.
Can I say something, Robert? You are a young black man. And as an older black man, let me explain. Don't say, hey, man, because all the whites out there expect us to talk to each other like we just come off a bandstand. Shit.
All right, Professor Clayton.
It's just a personal prejudice of mine.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that, sir. I mean, I'm just asking you. So you're saying that, what are you saying?
Well, what were you saying?
I forget.
Yeah, I was listening coming in. Boy, all of you people. There's a little bit of brain damage, you know, Phil.
Well, all right, so, yes, there is. You know that by now. All right, so you're talking about the balls and the strikes being called.
Right, the balls and strikes are being called by a man, while the Cracker Jack-eating people at home see the strike zone. So when he calls a pitch wrong, or let's see, he says something that disagrees with what the computer says, the fans are going to say, now look at that umpire. He doesn't know his job. Look at that umpire. I just saw it today, as a matter of fact, while I was getting ready for the symposium. I thought I'd put a ball game on just to make sure it wasn't my imagination, because I'm about to address some 2,000 fellow professionals, 2,000 educators from junior colleges and colleges all over the country, and I want to make sure I got my stuff together. You know what I'm saying?
So you turned on a baseball game to make sure. Well, what if it didn't prove you right?
Then I would have taken my notes and thrown them in the garbage can and said, I can't do this, and try to get away before the symposium started. As it was...
You're kidding.
No, why would I be kidding?
So if you didn't think that your notes and your speech was valid, you'd split?
Of course. What, do you want me to stand up there and give the speech? The people out there would be very disappointed. They'd say, what are you wasting? I'd probably get hit with all kinds of garbage and vegetables. No. No, no, not Emory Clayton. No, it never happens. It won't happen. It will not happen to Emory Clayton.
So you're telling me you'd walk off the stage?
Let me ask you something. Are you people all getting together to try to break my balls or something?
Would you watch your language, please?
I'm sorry, but Phil...
Hey, wait. No, we're not. We're not. I just want to make sure that I heard what I heard. If that's how it's done...
Yeah, look, if it's done that way, Emory, fine, but we want to make sure we're clear on things.
That's how I do it. All right?
That's good enough for us. Yeah, that's fine.
All right, great. But as it turned out, when I was watching the TV, I saw the umpire call a strike, and it was very clearly outside. And not only that, but the announcer said, oh, look at that. Looks like I don't know what he said exactly, but it all came down to this. Oh, look at that. He really blew that one, didn't he? What a mental, you know, what a blind man. God, a blind man. You know, I believe in hiring a handicap, all that stuff. So I wrote my paper called Robot Terror, because we are very much at the mercy of these machines. Do you realize that there are baseball fans that are going to break the you-know-what to these major league umpires because they got it wrong, because the little box that they superimpose on a screen says it's one thing and the umpire may get it the other way?
Well, what if it helps improve these umpires? What if it makes their performance...
Well, what do you mean? It's not going to help improve anything. Baseball is a game that's officiated by human beings. Now, human beings are going to make those calls or not. If they are, then they get that little box out of there.
Well, there's nothing they can do about it. And the fact is, as I said, it might improve them.
Oh, yes, there is something they can do about it. There is.
No, I mean, the fans are going to want to see that.
No, there's something they can do. But the umpires can tell Major League Baseball, you get that little box off that screen, or you can just have the computer officiate the game. There will be no more umpires. All right, we'll just walk off.
Yeah, that'd be fine with them. They'd had the computer do it, and no umpire at all.
Oh, really? And how do they call the play at third base? How do they call the play, you know, at second base?
Well, that seems easy enough. The computer can take a look and see when the tag got to the player as opposed to when it was applied to the runner.
What? Say that again.
It would be easy enough for the computer to indicate how quickly the ball got to the bag before the runner did.
All right, well, okay, how do you get a computer, let me ask you something, how do you get a computer to call the infield fly rule? Well, all right, not that.
Well, the infield fly rule's easy.
Not that, all right, not that. I'm just saying to you, how does a computer know whether the pitcher balked? You know what I'm saying about that?
What's a balk?
It's when he steps off the rubber and then steps back. It's a move the pitcher makes. See, this is not very fair because you are bringing up all the things a computer does. And that's fine. A computer can do a lot of things.
Well, a computer does a lot of things. What you're saying is the human being should do it, but shouldn't it be done right?
If you want it done right, get the computer. If you want it done by a human, you keep the umpires. Which is it?
Well, you do make a good point when you say it's a game officiated by human beings.
That's right. And if it's a game officiated by human beings, it's got to be human beings, whether they're right or whether they're wrong. Oh, you see what I'm saying?
Well, I get it, yeah. So even if they get it wrong and they butcher it alive, what? That doesn't make sense.
Well, wait. If you got the umpires there, then why have instant replay in the National Football League?
I don't care about the National Football League. They get all... The National Football League could all rot and die tomorrow. It wouldn't matter to me at all. That's their problem. I'm talking about baseball and the robot terror. Well...
You see, your book or your paper, excuse me, Professor Clayton, your paper indicates that the entire society is affected by this.
That you're right. I was just going to say that. But let's, for the purposes of what we're talking about here, concentrate on baseball. I can talk about how robot terror, you know...
And by the way, what is with the name robot terror?
What about it?
Well, it sounds like, you know, we had a movie on last week on Saturday Cinema called Attack of the Monsters.
Big, don't start comparing my work to some garbage can Japanese sci-fi. I'm going to get angry.
No, wait a second. It sounds like a robot terror.
What is a computer? Wouldn't you call that a robot, Mr. Henry?
Not necessarily, no.
Why not?
A robot has some mobility, doesn't it? And it has some independence of thought.
Independent? Get a load of him. I'm talking to a guy over here.
Wait, Professor Clayton.
All right, hold on. What?
A robot, doesn't that indicate some independence of thought or movement?
I don't know. If you're talking about it has arms and like that, what was the one on Lost in Space?
What's so funny?
There's nothing funny, believe me. I'm very, very upset. I don't know a lot about robots, so the only one that I know about is... forgive me, is the one on Lost in Space that used to say, Danger, Will Robinson.
Then why would you call your paper Robot Terror?
Because I didn't know I'd be getting all these questions. I thought the average person was about as thick as I was on the subject.
Well, I'm not a big robot expert. What we're asking you, though, is if this is something that applies to baseball, should apply to football, too. So we go back to the question that the General Shaw asked.
Yeah, it's General Shaw, although I wouldn't mind being a professor. If you know what I mean.
Thank you very much.
But I do ask the question, why have instant replay in football?
Because football is, I don't know how to explain it. It's just different. I love football and I love baseball, but football, I got to know. I don't play this, it's a game officiated by humans, because most of the time, and all right, I'll be honest, most of the time, I got money.
I knew it.
I What do you mean you knew it?
I knew this had to do with gambling.
Well, most of the time I've got money riding on the game, so I gotta know. I gotta know, and I gotta have it right. And I'm sorry if that sounds prejudicial.
Well, yeah, but it's the same thing. Why not have it on in football?
Because I've got money riding. I'm not going to wait for some referee to blow the call when I've got 500 to 1,000 riding on a...
See, this is your own personal gambling problems.
Gambling problem?
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Gambling problem? I don't have a gambling problem, Mr. Henry.
Then why in the hell wouldn't you apply the same standard to football and instant replay that you're applying to baseball?
It's... God damn it.
Yeah, see, you're not applying the same standard.
Yeah, I heard it already, Dickman. All right, let's apply the same standard if you want to. Then we get into a whole discussion here. What you're doing, though, is you're phasing human beings out of the job. You're automating them out of the job. Isn't that what's happened in Ohio? Isn't that what's happened in Pennsylvania? Isn't that what's happened in a lot of these places? Trump said he's going to bring the jobs back. He ain't going to bring diddly squat back because they all automated out of a job. Now, the same thing can happen on a smaller scale. Believe me, I'm not worried about whether or not baseball umpire is going to get a job or not. They can go back to whatever it was they were doing. High school, what is it, those guys? Like high school teachers, some jazz like that?
Well, that's generally the football referees. I don't know about the baseball guys.
Well, they're going to have to find another job because they're going to get automated out of this gig or they got to stand up for themselves. Now, that's the one thing these workers can't do because they don't have the societal power that an umpire can say, I'm going to go out on strike and enforce the human aspect.
Here's where I think you're right. Baseball is entertainment.
Oh, well, don't give me this horse dung, Phil. It's still a business.
No, I'm not saying it's not a business. I'm not saying it's not a business at all. I'm saying what is presented is a package that has a certain number of ingredients. It's an entertainment package. And part of that entertainment package is that it is played and officiated by human beings. They may get the call wrong. Don't get me wrong. They may get it wrong. They may get the call right.
Don't get you right.
Yeah, don't get you right. They may get it wrong.
Don't fuck with me either.
God, Mr. Henry.
Phil, if I hear that one more time, I'll walk off the job and I don't care.
Well, now, that's you're on your own there.
I apologize, Margaret.
Thank you.
Would you guys just let me finish?
Okay.
I'm saying that the package is an entertainment package that includes human beings officiating and calling the game. So when I go to a baseball game, part of the fun, part of the visual, part of the entertainment is, hey, there's an umpire there. He makes the calls. He wears the dark suit. He's got the big chest protector. The guys get to argue with him. That's part of the product. If you phase them out with this computer and the strike zone and all that stuff, then that takes away part of what makes baseball fun.
All right, so what do you want to do? Do you want to keep that strike zone thing, that box on TV, and humiliate those guys and have them subject to increasing pressure from the fans and ridicule from the fans and the press?
No, I would agree. Get rid of it.
You would agree? Wow. Man, I never thought I'd...
How are you going to do that, Mr. Henry?
Very easy. Major League Baseball says to the teams, you will not use that computer program or you will lose rights to the baseball game.
What?
Hey, that's exactly right, Phil. You're right.
What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what you want me to say it again?
No, I'll do it. Look, Dickman, what Henry is saying, if you are a baseball, forget it.
Now, what Phil's saying is, if you're Major League Baseball, you tell the baseball it is not allowed to be thrown around by humans?
No, man. If you people are really, you're starting to really wind me up to a point where I'm going to go ape and I'm going to hurt people. You understand?
Margaret, just go ahead, Rob.
No, do you understand?
I yes, I do.
I'll try and say it right. You better do it, Mr.
Major League Baseball says to the teams, no, not Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball says to television, it says to the broadcasters, it says to all of the entities that cover that game on TV, whether it's a local station, whether it's a network, you will not be allowed to use any kind of computer technology, any kind of computer program that shows where an umpire has made a mistake. Now, that's the opposite of instant replay.
Absolutely the opposite of instant replay, because there's a tradition in baseball that says the umpire is part of the fun. What? Just like you said. First time I went to a game when I was a kid, I'm with my father, and he said, hey, look at this. Now, look at the clown down there in the dark suit. I said, yeah, watch what happens, because he's been blowing these calls. And there was a big argument, and I laughed myself till I puked up two of those turkey, what the hell they call that, drumstick. turkey leg, drumstick.
You mean the ice cream cone?
That's it. I threw up two of them because I laughed so hard when this clown and everybody was yelling at him on the ball players. So that's what you do.
All right, you know, you just take. No, so that's the pressure is going to be on football.
Yeah. See, then they'll come back and the. Probably the referees in football will say, you get rid of the instant replay.
It's not going to happen. Instant replay is now a part of the game, and it will stay a part of the game.
All right, well, it's a part of baseball, too.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it is a part. They use instant replay in some baseball games.
Well, whatever they do, you keep it at that. You don't let them put that balls and strikes thing on there, man, because what you're doing is you're asking.
You just said man.
All right, excuse me. You don't let them put that balls and strikes thing on there. Because what you're doing is you're making the guy look like chump change, like some punk that any cheap-ass fan can run down there and go, ha, 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 and jump around and dance around. I remember I was asked to umpire a baseball game, a charity baseball game, between alumni members and faculty. And I was the home plate umpire, and I must have blown two or three calls that were very clearly wrong. I admit it. And a fan came out of the stands and began jumping around in front of me and going, hee, 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 hee. And I thought, Jesus, H. Christ, what is this? So I went and got out one of those aluminum bats, and I just knocked the guy unconscious.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a guy laughing at me and dancing. So I took the damn aluminum bat, and I laid into this guy, and he laid there, and they brought an ambulance out. He was fine. He was faking it. The whole point that I'm trying to make...
No, I get it. I get it. So your speech?
My speech will be about that very thing, okay? And it will be about the fact that baseball cannot survive when you make the umpire look like a punk. Even though everybody yell at the umpire, they don't like him. Let them keep yelling at the umpire. Don't let them yell at the umpire when they don't.
What are you saying now? Yeah, I don't understand.
You know what I mean. Don't let them yell at the umpire when they know the umpire's wrong, as opposed to the fact that their dumbasses think he's wrong.
No, I get it. All right, Professor Emery Clayton, thank you, sir. I know you're heading home, and it's late. We appreciate you being with us here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show, sir, and drive very, very, very carefully, too.
Well, you know what, Phil, right now...
There he is, Professor Emery Clayton.
Well, you know, it ought to be an interesting point, so you think they should.
Yeah, I do. Baseball is different. Baseball is, the umpire is a part of the entertainment factor. He is a part of, more a part of the game than a football referee is a part of football.
Well, I think they are a part of the game because they wear the hat, they wear the baseball cap, sort of, only it's black, and they do wear chest protectors, and they chew tobacco, you know what I'm saying?
What's that got to do with it?
What do you mean, what has that got to do with it?
But Margaret, that's not, now I understand what she's saying, but...
I agree with Margaret. Margaret. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have Ted Bell. Let's talk about the new slogan. Ted has settled on one. If you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death.
As the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California, where today it was 81 degrees. Oh!
My mind is made up. I'm going to Herb Melvin Slacks. Herb Melvin Slacks in the Fiduciary Mall. Herb Melvin has been making slacks for men and boys and some for women for the last 28 years. He stays there in the back until he gets it right. Herb Melvin will not eat food or drink water until he gets your slacks right. At Herb Melvin Slack, his name was Herb Melvin, and then they changed it back to Herb Melvin when they realized there'd been a spelling error. Herb Melvin. One good piece of news, Herb isn't as stupid as the guys that are doing this commercial. If you want something to wear, that is, if you want to put on a pair of pants, let's just say for laughs, you want to wear pants, go to Herb Melvin Slacks. Herb Melvin Slacks in the Fiduciary Mall. Dial 555-15555 and then add a 2. That's Herb Melvin Slacks. Herb's in the back, not eating or drinking until your pants fit.
Gabby Wishbone here for the Family Chicken Restaurant. We've been in the Tecumseh Valley for 15 years. We serve up the finest chicken dinner your money can buy. Bring your girlfriend out. Let's make it a romantic evening out. You bring her in for a chicken dinner. You say to her, baby, tonight's the night. You get a chicken dinner. And if I see you look funny at me, you know what?
Gabby Wishbone's chicken dinners. They're delicious.
Tell them about the price.
The price is right. $15 for a couple, $20 for three people.
Gabby Wishbone, we encourage the third wheel.
At Gabby Wishbone's Family Chicken Restaurants, we celebrate the family chicken.
And here he is now.
Hi, I'm the family chicken.
That sounded like a parrot.
Gabby Wishbone's Family Chicken Dinner. I can't.
That's all right, son. Gabby Wishbone's Family Chicken Dinner Restaurant in the Fiduciary Mall. Oh, wait a minute, that's Herb Melvin Slacks.
What the hell is this? Sounds like my granddaughter.
Yeah, it's a pretty bitchin' song.
Oh,
this. This is the C'est La Vie. It's called Too Far Gone.
That sounds about right.
How dare you?
All right, welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And sports fans, it's that time again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ted Bell is going to join us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, everybody. Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And have we got a deal for you? I'm telling you, coming up is the All-Star Game tomorrow night. Do you dare see the All-Star Game without hanging out at Ted's of Beverly Hills and having a Ted? I don't think so.
Tomorrow night is the All-Star Game. So you got a lot of action happening, huh?
We're gonna have a great time with the All-Star Game, Phil. As you know, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, the great sports bar that is the primary room. And Rudy Canoes is here to tell us a little bit more. Go ahead, Rudy.
Yes, Phil. We will have the primary room open, and we're serving the Ted. And we're going to have 2-for-1. That's 2-for-1, 1 hour before the game. And during the game, we serve the Ted. We also have, as you know, the miniature chicken. That's right there back.
Yeah, the miniature chicken's back. Fantastic. Man, I love that miniature chicken, Mr. Bell.
Now, we thought we'd bring the miniature chicken back because it is so, so, so popular. And as you know, the miniature chicken, Phil, comes from an evolutionary cul-de-sac in Indiana where the chickens are, they only grow to be about, how big are they this year, Rudy?
The miniature chicken came in at about 5 inches tall, little tiny wishbones, itsy bitsy, teeny weeny wings. It's just great.
How does a guy get something to eat?
That's not the point, okay? I keep trying to tell you, General, that's not the point. Why do you just...
Take it easy, Ted.
All right, but he's always asking.
I don't understand how a guy can eat. With a miniature chicken, you got a drumstick, and you take pride in that.
We take great pride. Listen, General, with all due respect, sir, you know I respect you.
All right.
But the miniature chicken, we get a kick out of just itsy-bitsy, teeny little... It's like, hey, here's a drumstick. Where is it? I don't know. I either inhaled it or ate it.
Yeah, very funny.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to ensure that everyone has a great time at Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. Not dead.
All right, thanks a lot, Rudy, and we did try to do our best, but General Shaw butt in and ruined everything.
Now, wait a minute, Ted. There's no reason why I can't ask the question. You got a chicken with a drumstick so small. You heard what the guy said. Do I inhale it or do I eat it?
It's the kick for the... You know, look, just live a little, man. Tell me, hey, I'll take a miniature chicken. And, you know, and that's what it is.
And how much does a miniature chicken cost?
How much does a miniature chicken... Is that what he asked me?
Yeah.
What's with you?
How much does a miniature chicken cost?
I don't know. It's $15, $20.
Are you out of your mind? $15 for a chicken that I can barely see? That's ridiculous.
You know, Phil, it's not my business, but I think General Shaw's finally cracking up.
No, I'm not cracking up. The guy that's cracking up is you serving that stuff.
Really? I'm getting $20 per. Oh, how crazy am I? Yeah. Huh? Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Uh-huh. Now that we're done with that...
Anyway, Phil, yes, we do have the All-Star Game coming up on Tuesday night.
All right, that's fine. I'm going to be there, Ted.
Great, come on in. We've got Ted's half off.
Yeah, I'm going to be having Ted's. I'll probably have a steak, but I won't go anywhere near your miniature chickens because I think they're probably radioactive. How do you feel about that?
Okay, we got to have a discussion now.
He's screwing around. Come on.
Well,
Yeah, the way you're talking, I think you've probably eaten a few.
What does that mean?
I mean, they're radioactive and your tongue's grown to a size where you're going...
Oh, man, I hate you.
Look, let's be friends, okay? Come on in for a miniature chicken, General. You don't have to pay for it. It's on the house.
What are you trying to pull?
I own half the joint. So, come on in.
All right, in that case, I may try one.
All right, well, if General Shaw's going to come in and try a miniature chicken, you too, Tuesday night, that's tomorrow night here at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, Ted, the bigger story is you have settled on a new slogan for the restaurant.
That is right, Phil, and as you know, Phil, every so often we do reappraise and we take another look at our Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan. And so, Phil, the Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan is the following. If you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death. All right.
There it is, Ted's of Beverly Hills' new slogan.
What an asinine slogan.
Phil, I paid too much money on your show. I paid too much money on your show to have that kind of...
It is asinine.
Oh, Margaret, no, it is not. It is absolutely perfect. If you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death.
Yeah, I can't agree, Miss Gray. What if you say that to Miss Gray?
What is businesses out of yours?
I wouldn't say that to Ms. Gray, okay? Well, yes, I would have. I'm talking about steak, all right?
Oh, you wouldn't say it to me.
Well, that's kind of a put-down.
It is and it isn't.
No, wait a minute. Bill?
All right, so the new slogan is...
Yeah, the new slogan is, if you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death, okay? And you probably are, so there you go.
What did you just say?
Nothing.
All right, that's very nice. Ted's in Beverly Hills and the new slogan. We're going to take some phone calls here. Our number is 855-500-7445. With us is Ted Bell from Ted's in Beverly Hills on their new slogan. We got William calling us from El Cerritos. Hello, William. We're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I was listening to the show here a moment ago, and I'm not so sure I understand. Your new slogan is...
Our new slogan, sir, is if you're not allowing our meat in your mouth, you're starving to death.
Well, I had been out this afternoon earlier, and I was getting in a workout. I was doing squats, and I was doing some leg exercises.
Does this have something to do?
If you don't mind, I'd like to finish what I'm saying. I was out doing a workout this afternoon, and I was doing squats, and I was doing leg exercises, and I came home, and I took a nap, and I was dreaming about my wife and I running on a beach. And it was, and we were running on the beach.
Yeah.
And who said that?
I did. I'm Bud Dickman.
Yes, sir. You were running on the beach.
And I was running on the beach. And when I woke up, I heard a man saying, you have to allow my meat in your mouth or you're going to starve to death. And I immediately thought of my wife. And I thought I was in hell. I felt as if I was in hell.
No, you don't understand. Ours is a steakhouse. I know it's a steakhouse, but when you say you're going to have my meat in your mouth or starve, and I immediately pictured my wife gagging down a gigantic elephant size.
There is, excuse me.
You were laughing.
No, I was not. No, I was not.
Yes, you were.
No, I was not. There is a gentleman. So there you hear it, Ted, right there. There's a guy who is upset. He's weirded out by your... By your entire campaign.
Oh, he's weirded out by the campaign. You know, Phil, if I didn't know you better, actually, I do know you better, and that'd be a guy you'd call to pay to. You'd pay to call in, or you'd call to pay in. You know?
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, I think you understand.
No, Ted, that's a real man reacting to that slogan, and he was so traumatized by it that when he was dreaming, after having a nice workout,
What is this? But the guy had a workout. What is that about?
He had a workout.
Okay, then what?
Yeah, see, I'm suspicious of that, too.
Now, the guy had a workout, and he was all relaxed from it. Then he came home, took a nap. He's dreaming about him and his wife running down a beach, and he wakes up to hear about you putting your meat, you know, into a mouth and everything.
I'm not putting my meat in his wife's mouth. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's the way it came across.
Well, if she comes to the restaurant, I will. But I don't do it for free. Oh, God.
Ted, it's obvious that the phrase is being misunderstood by a lot of people, and there you go.
No, it's only being misunderstood by you, Phil, and the people that you pay to call your show.
I don't pay anybody to call my show, and you better take that back, or you won't be allowed to advertise on my show, or my whatever it is I do, ever again.
On your snow?
On my show.
All right, I'm sorry.
Ted Bell with the new slogan for Ted's in Beverly Hills, if you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death. Now, let me ask something, Ted. What are you going to do with the jingle? And here it is. What are you going to do with this when the little lady sings what she sings, which is...
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, I'll...
Steakhouse, come on down.
All right, let me think. Ted's, if you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death. I think I could get her to sing it, you know?
I don't think so.
Well, Margaret, forgive me. You're a singer, but
you wanna put our meat in your mouth.
Not that good of a singer, if you know what I mean. I'm not trying to say anything.
You know what? If you don't hang up on this asshole, I will.
How's she going to do that? She can't hang up on me. She
just did.
Thank you.
Ted Bell, ladies and gentlemen, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. His new slogan is, if you're not allowing my meat in your mouth, you're starving to death. We will, I'm sure, hear more about this in the days and the weeks to come. Coming up next, Jay Santos. Operation Eyeball to Eyeball is in operation. World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Don't forget, you can find us online on Twitter at Real Phil Hendry and Phil Hendry Show. That's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry, twitter.com/PhilHendryShow.
Rotten music can be yours at Klebco's Used Records and Tapes. Klebco's Used Records and Tapes is the number one outlet for all of you hipsters, all of you millennials, all of you old people, all of you real wrinkled up, old pruned up old people who like to come in and buy all those old rotten albums. For you kids who like to turn them into picture discs or maybe something that you can put a pitcher of beer on, fantastic. For you old people that want to put it on your hi-fi equipment and go, oh gosh, weren't those great days? Good for you. I just need to get this stuff out of here. I need to get rid of it. It's fouling up my garage! Klebco's Used Records and Tapes, downtown.
Sydney Porcelain, every Sunday morning here on KKAKAKKK, I give you the news, the views, the public affairs that you need. This weekend, we'll talk to Randy Portigo, who is the head of the Succulene Council. They'll be putting up that whole new branch office out there in the Webco District. Many of you have called in and complained about the building design and the kinds of people that go in and out of there. We'll talk about it, and we'll see whether or not we can't get the city fathers to blow the whole thing out of the water. They can lose billions for all we care, and we get our town back, such as it is, and it ain't much.
Join us this Sunday at 8 a.m. for
Sydney Porcelain,
right here on
KKAKAKKKK.
You'll be glad you did.
Jay Santa, Citizens Auxiliary Police, joining on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Man, I'll tell you, Jay, it's been a long time since we have been talking to you, and this is important stuff, man, because eyeball is what it's called now. Whoever thought that you know, you'd still be in business on this thing, you know, low these many days later and everything, you know what I mean?
I'm not exactly sure I know what you're talking about, Dick, man, but if I take you...
How do we know that Operation Peep Tom still be around with all the stuff that people told you?
What is he saying?
He's saying, you know, after all the heat you took... on Operation Peep Tom.
Don't you remember, Jay, all of the people that called in and complained about you sticking a camera in a bedroom window?
All right, okay. I mean, if Dickman said that, it would have been a whole lot easier to understand. But really, essentially, what Operation Peep Tom evolved into...
Well, see, that's what we want to know. Peep Tom evolved into what? Good morning, little schoolgirl? Jesus H. I could have told you, Santos. That was a boneheaded idea.
General, unfortunately, you weren't there. If you had been there, maybe you would have been able to warn us, maybe not. Good Morning Little Schoolgirl was an evolution of Peep Tom so that, you know, we made it more colloquial. We made it kind of have a blues flavor to it.
So what, man?
So what?
So what if it had a blues flavor?
I didn't say blues flavor.
Blues flavor. All right, so what if it had a blues flavor?
So it's more, people are more comfortable with it. You know what I mean? They're more comfortable with it.
Well, that doesn't make me comfortable as a woman. Good morning, little schoolgirl.
Well, I know. So we changed it, okay? And we changed to Operation Eyeball. Operation Eyeball went out in the field as of the 1st of June. And when we went out with Operation Eyeball, we had the camera, which was strapped to a helmet. And as you know, Phil, Operation Eyeball, Operation Peep Tom, was designed to let women and husbands know that they're you know, vulnerable to peeping toms. That's what our camera would do. We would, you know, take film footage of a nude lady and show it to the husband and go, look at this. What?
Yeah. And how many times did you get belted? How many times did you get your teeth knocked out?
Just once. I mean, the other times I was assaulted, but it wasn't a face.
What do you mean?
Well, it kicked me in the nuts.
They knocked you crazy. So you knew you had to come up with something else. What are you doing putting a camera in people's bedroom windows for?
It's Operation Peep Tom, okay? And I tried to tell the guys, there's a lot of peeping toms around here. So we did Operation Eyeball. We had the camera on the helmet, and we had a gigantic eye that was made by Lou Westerfield's daughter. She works in a clay class, and she made a big eye, and we painted it blue, and we put the eye on top of the camera. And we just said Operation Eyeball. And that got me beat up. So we went back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I've got you beat up, all right. You know what you are, Santos? You're the Wile E. Coyote, and the Roadrunner is just any neighborhood person out there that catches you.
Well, you say what you want to say, but guess what? We came up with Operation Eyeball Eyeball. And by coming up with Operation Eyeball Eyeball, we have the eyeball on the camera, then we look in a bedroom window, and women know, oh, it's Eyeball Eyeball. So they know that, they're safe.
Why wouldn't that work with Operation Eyeball?
Because it sounded too one-sided.
So this way, you call it Operation Eyeball to Eyeball. What does that mean?
So the woman looks in, and she sees the camera, and she goes, yeah, I'm okay. All right? I'm good. Or I got your message. I'm nude. I better close the window.
So let me get this straight.
No, I'll do this. So I'm standing in my bedroom, or some friend of mine, and we're naked, and your camera comes around the corner, and I see the camera because I see the giant eyeball. I go, oh, that's great. That's Jay. So I'm fine. And I'm naked. And I'm supposed to feel better about that?
Ms. Gray, with all due respect, I seriously doubt if we would be having video of you nude. Now,
what does that mean?
Look,
Margaret, let it go.
No, what does it mean?
No, you're right. We would. We would take the video footage of you.
All right, that's better, even though I'm more outraged.
Good. We would take video of you, and then you'd see us, and we'd go, look, we'd point at the eyeball.
Now, you pointed at the eyeball. Was that the Guthington family?
General Shaw.
No, he pointed at the eyeball, and she went and got her husband. The guy came around the corner, and Jay was still pointing at the eyeball when this guy hit him with a baseball bat.
That guy hit me from behind, too.
So you're standing there with a camera, and you're filming the woman naked, and you're pointing at the eyeball on top of the camera to tell her what?
To tell her it's Operation Eyeball Eyeball. How many times have I got to say it?
Yeah, that got your ass kicked.
It did technically get my ass kicked, but it shouldn't have, because...
The guy doesn't want his wife being photographed, whether it's Operation Eyeball to Eyeball, Jay Santos, or anybody else.
All right, and that's why we're on the program tonight, to explain it and to educate people. Oh, if you let me say things.
Yeah, well, you can explain it, man, but you ain't going to do it very good.
Yeah, I am. You going to give me a chance?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I got to hear this.
Oh, man.
Do it, Jay.
All right. Operation Eyeball, Eyeball. As a matter of fact, we happen to be out tonight, and I just pulled up, and I've been sitting here screaming and yelling at you right near a house. And now we have put the eyeball on.
I got it right here.
Put it on top of the thing. That's Sub-Commander Gleason. What we're going to do, Phil, is we are near the Bologna home. Jim and Jessica Bologna, and we're going to sneak up to the window here. And what I'm doing is I've got the camera. Now, she is known to get undressed for bed right about now.
What do you mean she's known?
Well, in the past, we picked up a couple of greasy, stinking punks who told us they'd been eyeballing her. And I said, oh, Peeping Tom? And they go, yeah. So.
Yeah, bull crap.
Hey, General, that's what happened. I swear to Almighty God.
All right, so what are you doing now?
We're coming up on the window. Shut up. All right, shut up, you guys.
Do you want me to get some Coca-Cola?
Would you shut up? All right, now we're coming up on a window. She's in the window right now. All right, now her panties come off. Okay, her panties just now did come off. The panties just now did come off. Okay, so I'm now taking footage of her, and she's sitting, and she's going to put some lotion or something on her butt. God damn, what's she doing?
They put that on her butt.
Usually put it on their legs, but... All right, now she's turned and she sees us. All right, I'm pointing at the eyeball. I'm pointing at the eyeball.
What are you doing?
I'm pointing at the eyeball.
Yeah, take a look at this.
Hello? What happened to him?
Hello?
Hey, is this Gleason? This is Phil Henry. We're on the air right now.
Yeah, Jay got clapped.
Get out of here, all you clowns.
Got to drag him back a truck.
Is he all right?
He's okay. He's unconscious. Yeah. Wow. Hey, Jay, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, Phil, I got you a sponge cake and I got you a hamburger.
Jay, we're on the air.
Oh, okay. Oh, eyeball?
Eyeball to eyeball, you just got hit with a baseball bat.
By who?
By the husband.
Oh. Okay, well, back to drawing board.
I'd say back to the drawing board. You know what you ought to do? Throw the drawing board out and get something else to play with.
You want a Coca-Cola?
You got bad breath. Fucking get out of my face.
All right, there's Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
You know, I know there's a lot of idiots you have on this show. God knows there are many, many idiots you have on this program. But none are quite as distinctive as Jay. And often I wonder whether he's just putting everyone on.
No, he is. I've talked to him at length. He wants to be law enforcement.
Well, that eyeball to eyeball and pointing at a gigantic eye, he took a baseball bat. By the way, he's lucky he's not getting arrested.
Well, that's the whole thing. I think that guy is probably going to wind up getting busted
and he's going to go downtown, man.
What do you mean going downtown?
He's going to go downtown. Because you know what they do, man. You go downtown and everything. Go Operation Eyeball, Eyeball, man. Peeping Tom and all that jazz.
World famous Phil Henry Show.
The El Pacifico here in Southern California.
Executive producer Phil Henry.
For Siempre Incorporated.
All rights reserved.
On podcast one.